They are just born and bred different on those farms.
And tough as nails, right? That maybe that's the thing they learn more than anything else. They are tough as nails. Say hats off to the NFL and to all these really cool players that have such deep farming and ranching roots.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Farm Files episode of FP Next, powered by John Deere. I'm one of your co-hosts for this Farmer and Rancher Driven podcast, Sarah McNaughton Peterson, and I'm here with Kurt Arnes.
Hi, Sarah. Yes, we're powered by John Deere, so for all of your equipment and technology needs, see your local Deere dealer. So, Sarah, it's still kind of Super Bowl season, even though we're coming in after the Super Bowl here, but our last conversation with Whitney was all about kind of the playoffs and Super Bowl and all the food that we eat on Super Bowl Sunday. And we're going to talk, stay with the theme, right? Talk football today and a little bit about, gosh, there's a lot of NFL players that have really strong ties to farming life, and not all of them grew up on a farm necessarily, but they, are farming today or have some tie to agriculture. So it's kind of interesting. And that's going to be our topic of the day, right?
Yeah, and it's all kinds of fields. So for the football field or the farm fields or vice versa, whether they had roots in agriculture with their family farm or just ended up deciding, you're going to share a story about one of the players. And that I think is so cool, where he just decided to turn down a multi-million dollar deal with the NFL. And he just wanted to farm and help his community and feed his community. So it's always a fun thing to talk about, even if, some of us might not be happy with the Super Bowl results. It's always fun to talk about kind of what these players do on the field and off the field, just sharing kind of their story and how the ties to ag, is always a cool thing. And I found out one of these players we're going to talk about today is from North Dakota, and I didn't even know that they existed. And I was like, oh, this makes so much more sense. So I'm excited to talk about all the people we're going to share about today.
Well, and you wouldn't be surprised, North Dakota does have kind of a football tradition, right? So it doesn't surprise me at all that some of these NFL players with some farming roots, would come from North Dakota. And I think I've got one who grew up in South Dakota as well that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. So, there's a lot of roots in the Plains states, I guess.
There is, but starting off, we're actually going to go way west out into Western Farm Press territory. And of course, we've seen a lot about Josh Allen lately. He is the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And we saw them with their championship loss against the Chiefs just before the Super Bowl. And I was really gunning for a Bills Super Bowl. But so Josh Allen is actually one of those who grew up on a farm. Even though he's still an active player, he has roots on a kind of diversified cotton and nut farm near Fresno, California, which was established by his grandfather in 1975. And he also has a rich history in FFA. And according to ESPN, of all the sources I could find, it was ESPN. And he was a national finalist in diversified crop production. And he also received his American degree in 2015. And so that was a fun one. We can't talk too much about his farming background since he's still playing. But how fun that he was just in the FFA and did all these cool things, especially getting his American degree is a big deal.
Yeah, talk about your paperwork, right? I mean, that, if he did that, contract negotiations should be nothing if you made your American degree in FFA. So he did a good job. And it's kind of interesting because, he grew up in California and now he plays for a very cold weather team, maybe one of the best cold weather teams, that you see all the fans scooping snow out of the seats in the Bills Stadium. So, Josh Allen has thrived in a different climate, I guess. So that's pretty cool. My first one that I wanted to talk about was a guy who grew up on a hog and cattle farm at Mount Vernon, South Dakota. So south of you, Sarah, and north of me. And it's Chad Greenway. And, Chad, he's been a spokesperson for Minnesota Pork and NK Seed because of his farming roots. He was an all-state player in South Dakota, was I didn't know this. He was Gatorade Player of the Year in 2001. And in high school, he played quarterback and safety, but he was an Iowa Hawkeye and moved to linebacker and went to my favorite NFL team, the Minnesota Vikings. First round, 17th pick in 06. But as luck would have it, he blew his ACL that first year, so he didn't get to start until 2007. And he played 11 seasons in the NFL and retired in 2016. And he still runs a hobby farm in Delano, Minnesota. But what I really like about Chad is, you know, it's kind of, I would say the farm values, you know, the small town kind of person in him. He was the 2016 Walter Payton Player of the Year. And he has a foundation, I think it's called Lead the Way Foundation, and which provides life, it says, life-changing experiences to seriously ill children. So, you know, he's kind of taken that small town values to the next level as an NFL player. So, you know, I would say we'll give him the hee-haw salute, you know, Chad Greenway salute. I think it's kind of a cool player and a former Viking, which we can't go wrong there.
We always love our northern sports team. I know another thing Chad Greenway does that's always fun to hear about is he's got a partnership with Minnesota Pork now, mm-hmm. Which actually our friend to the east of us had shared from Minnesota Pork Board. And, you know, they say that he embodies the values that they are hoping to promote between his hard work, resilience, and community spirit. You know, he raises awareness of the importance of pork as a healthy protein option. And he also, of course, highlights personal connection to farming and talking about how pork plays a role in their healthy, active lifestyles. So I think he was a great one to start off with. I didn't realize he was from South Dakota. I thought he was from Minnesota.
Nope, from Mount Vernon.
I was thinking of the Vikings, and that's why. Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually
in Mount Vernon doing a story not too long ago.
Right. He grew up closer to me than to you, actually. So just north of me, not all that far. So yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about another person from the Dakotas that actually, I didn't even know that they were from the Dakotas. And it makes sense because he did not play at NDSU. But Connor McGovern is the center for the New York Jets. And he's one of the many North Dakota natives who are currently playing in the NFL. He actually played college at Missouri and then was selected to play for the Denver Broncos in the fifth round of the NFL draft in 2016. And in that time, he's played for the New York Jets, the New Orleans Saints, and then he's now back with the New York Jets. But he actually came from a potato farm right here in the Red River Valley, which is Ardy Offutt Farms, and they are a main supplier for McDonald's French fries. And then his family also founded RDO Equipment, which, Kurt, I don't know if RDO is down to your neck of the woods, but they're a big dealer for John Deere and other implement brands around here in the Midwest. So that was kind of a fun one to see the North Dakota spirit from a Fargo native. And of course, Connor being from the North, I'm sure he is no stranger to the cold as he plays in the MetLife Stadium with the New York Jets, which is also that same stadium with the New York Giants. And so I'm sure they are used to the cold temperatures up there with his background. But who's your next player to talk about today, Kurt?
Well, and this is another one. It's kind of like Chad Greenway and really a special person, you know, not just a great NFL player, but a special person. And that would be Jason Brown. He was born in Henderson, North Carolina, and he started his college career as a tackle and a guard with North Carolina, and then eventually moved on to Florida State to finish out his college career. He moved to center then, which was a big deal because that's really where he made his name in the NFL. He went fourth round to the Baltimore Ravens, and then he started all 17 games in 2007 as the center. And then in 2009, so he agreed to like a $37.5 million deal with the St. Louis Rams. And at the time, if that had been approved, it was not approved, but it had to be renegotiated. But if it had been approved, it would have been like one of the largest deals at the time ever in the NFL. So he's a very, very valuable player. And, you know, he was eventually played very well, was released by the Rams in 2012. And he looked, you know, he looked at going back to the Ravens or the 49ers or the Panthers, but he decided, and he had some offers. In 2012, he decided to walk away from the NFL and walk away from those big contracts. And he didn't have a farming background. And believe it or not, you're not going to believe this, but he learned to farm by watching YouTube videos. If only it was that easy, right? So he founded a 1,000-acre farm. It's called First Fruits Farm, kind of a biblical, you know, nod there. And his whole thing is he donates just, I mean, literally tons of food that he grows on his farm every year to local food pantries. And this is astronomical. A 500,000 pounds of sweet potatoes. Now that is a lot of sweet potatoes, and like 50,000 pounds of cucumbers to local food pantries. So he has 8 children, and so hopefully he's got a little help on the farm too. But yeah, Jason Brown is a real rock star, not just as a great NFL center, but you know, as kind of the after NFL life that he's built around himself, I think is very interesting and certainly, you know, really a good story of generosity, I would say.
Yeah, I know when I was looking up the football players I wanted to cover today, Jason Brown was one that came up a couple times and then just kept coming up. And he's got a really great story, and I think it's a great testament to his values and his family. And I think it's super cool. I've never been to a farm in North Carolina, but, you know, we're always looking for more farm features, Kurt. Maybe that'd be a fun one to give a call over to and see if we can visit with them. I want to talk a little bit about Cody White, who is with the Houston Texans. And after playing college football at Illinois State University, he played in the NFL until around 2016. And of course, he had to retire due to injuries. We've kept hearing about that. But he was actually drafted in 2012 as an undrafted free agent. And then he kind of was released a couple times and back on the team. But he was an offensive guard and is from Columbus, Ohio. But what he does now, I think, is super interesting. And I loved when I was looking this up, I found a farm site that actually had shared this. So he's a soybean farmer now in central Illinois alongside his father-in-law, and he was named one of the 2023 Illinois Soybean Association's 20 under 40 leaders. You know, their family farm talks about working to reduce tillage, variable rate nitrogen for side dress applications, and they work with variable rate phosphorus. So it sounds like they're implementing a lot of great practices onto their operation. And he's also now a youth coach, mentor, and motivational speaker for young people, whether they're in the football fields or the farm fields. So I think he's kind of like Jason, one of those just really good guys who was in the NFL and now back in ag.
You know, and what a change in culture for those guys to, you know, play in the NFL, the big show, and be on the big stage, and then, you know, go back to farming life in a small town. And for most of them, at least everything I read and the interviews that I've heard, I mean, gosh, they crave going back to the farm. So it isn't, you know, it isn't like, well, that's the only options I have, right? They want to go back and farm and you know, make a living from that. And having made their careers in the NFL. So yeah, that's a really good one. So my next one is going to be, you know, another Midwest guy. It's got to be Jordy Nelson with the Packers, who played for so well. I think he has 72 touchdown pass receptions in his career, which is just outstanding. And in one of the years, I think he had 14, which led the NFL at the time. So Jordy, one of the pastors we had at our local church, St. Rose, was Father Mike. He was a big Packers fan, having grown up in Minnesota, but he was a huge Packers fan. And Jordy Nelson was his favorite player of all time. And part of the reason he was his favorite player was because he grew up on a farm and then went back to a farm. You know, he never really lost his farm roots. Grew up in Manhattan, Kansas, so up in Jenny Latsky, Kansas farmer country around Manhattan, on a farm that was settled by his great-great-grandfather. So a multi-generational farm. He played quarterback in high school there in Manhattan, went to K-State, was a Kansas State Wildcat, selected second round by the Packers in the 08 draft, and, you know, was one of the great wide receivers for the Packers for so many years. I think it was for 10 years. So like, he caught his first touchdown pass against the Lions in September of 08 and played for the Packers until 2018. So that's quite a career. He did play with the Oakland Raiders and then was released by the Raiders in 2019. But, you know, it wasn't like he didn't have any options. So he went back to the wheat and cow calf farm there around Manhattan. And I think he farms today around Riley, Kansas. And, you know, Jordy, I think he's been featured by a lot of different farm publications. I think our own Wisconsin agriculturist editor, Fran O'Leary, got to interview Jordy in 2016. We might have to link that story back because he was still playing for the NFL at that time, and talks a lot about, you know, his farming roots and why agriculture is so important to him. So, you know, I love Jordy Nelson, liked him when he was a player, and love him now that he's back on the farm. So I think it's another great story.
It's just the Northern football teams is what it seems like we're just coming up with. It's all these players from the Midwest ended up staying in the North most of the time and then coming back. I know this one is not in the North. He is from very South, but it's Trent Brown from the Cincinnati Bengals. And he was drafted to the San Francisco 49ers in 2015 after he played college ball at Georgia Military College and Florida State. And he actually bought a ranch of his own in 2021 after he grew up around livestock with a Texas rancher as a grandfather. And he currently runs Brangus Cattle and owns around 24 performance horses. And so he's got a big focus from right now from sources on growing his bull herd and building his ideal genetics. And here's one for the horse people, Kurt. And I don't know how closely you follow the AQHA breeding, but have you ever heard of Pepto-Bismol?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, everyone's heard of him.
Right.
And so that's a super familiar name to a lot of quarter horse enthusiasts. And he's a cutting horse whose offspring have earned more than $28 million combined. And Trent actually owns one of Pepto-Bismol offspring. And he does futurity with those horses along others that he's got on his ranch. And of course, talking a little bit about his football career after I talked about all of his horse enthusiasm. So he played with the San Francisco 49ers from 15 to 17, took a little jump over the New England Patriots, played again for the Raiders for a couple years, was back at the Patriots from 2021 to 2023. And now he's actually back at the Bengals in 2024. He's in their offensive line. And, you know, he brought 9 years of pro playing experience when he came to the Bengals. And he's seen action in 100 regular season games from the stats that I could find. And he's actually the heaviest player listed on the Bengals roster, weighing in at 380 pounds. But he's a self-proclaimed cowboy, and he just loves his ranch, and he sees it from the information I read that he looks at it more of like a business opportunity as well as a passion. So it's something that he is really getting big in and wanting to help other NFL players see that, hey, there's like, it's, you're not just farming. It's a business opportunity as well as a passion for him. So I thought that was pretty cool. Of course, with our horse ties, we always love to see the performance horses coming out. But there's just a great lineup of a lot of great people. And of course, even if they're not from our teams, even though I know the Vikings are your team, there's so many NFL players who come from kind of like that small town values, or, and I'm sure there's so many more that come from farms, because I found a lot of names. And so I think it's just great to see those rural America roots branching all the way to the NFL and back.
Yeah, I was going to say, there you go, Sarah. You and Cole could, invest in the performance quarter horses and get started in that. That'd be a lot of fun, right? A little different than the rodeo circuit, though, probably. But I think it's kind of cool to see how these guys, have kind of started their new careers in agriculture, and even the ones that did not necessarily come from a farm. And so, I don't know, it's, the kind of the end of the NFL season, and it's a good time to talk about some of these farming roots that we always like to see. And in some cases, some of these NFL players have actually become spokespeople for, like Minnesota Pork, Illinois Soybeans, and different organizations, which is, meets our world pretty strongly. So I think that's kind of fun too.
Yeah. And of course, I think rural values bring a lot. It's kind of like when we were talking with Jesse Jarvis in a past episode about how a lot of people want to hire the farm kids. And I think it all kind of ties down to those rural values. You have a strong sense of community and strong neighborly ties. You have a really strong family support system. You value that family. And of course, all farm kids and a lot of rural people have a very strong work ethic and self-reliance. And I think those are all things that tie from their upbringing into the NFL and helps them be successful. We all love small town living, right? Even if the internet doesn't always like to help us out, it's always good in a small town.
Well, and the NFL contracts that some of the NFL players have affords them, the ability to really, in some places change people's lives, in some of the foundations that they do and the donations they make. And a lot of this stuff is out of the limelight. You never see it. They do it, for their hometowns. They do it for home people. They do it for, people who need a little lift. I can speak locally. The only NFL player I've ever really known personally was Russ Hookstein, who came from a nearby town, Hardington, Nebraska, and played in the NFL, has a couple Super Bowl rings to his name. And he's given so much back, very quietly, but has given so much back to his local area and community over the years. And so it's just neat to see that, I think. And like you say, I think a lot of this comes from, the small town rural values that we grew up with and to give back when we can and where we can. And I think it's fun to see. And these NFL players are kind of shining examples of some of that for sure.
Talk about those rural values again. There is a rancher that we team up with. We go and help with some of his brandings, and he actually coaches high school football and in a small town near his ranch where his wife is a teacher as well. And they actually, but he's actually coached somebody who's all the way made it to the NFL. Cordell Volson is a starting left guard for the Cincinnati Bengals, and he grew up in Belfort, North Dakota, but attended high school at the Drake Animus High School. And he was one of our NDSU Bison, and he started for a record 65 games for the Bison, started 36 consecutive games, beginning his career at the Bengals after he was selected in the fourth round of the 2022 NFL Draft. And aside from his career in the NFL, he also has started the Small Town Foundation with him and his fiance, and something that they do is help work with kids from small town and rural communities and realize all the opportunities that they have to find athletic, academic, artistic, anything that they're looking for is helping youth from those rural and small communities reach their goals. And so he's another one, maybe not exactly from a farm himself, but one of those two that just exhibits those small town values.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, it there again, as the season closes up, this is kind of our way to say hats off to the NFL and to all these really cool players that have such deep farming and ranching roots.
Absolutely, Kurt. And, you know, I forgot about one more I have to share about because this is actually our team. This is my husband and I's team that we like to cheer for, which is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if I say that and you already know, it's Cody Mock, and he is from Hankinson, North Dakota. And of course, he was an NDSU Bison. And he was selected in the second round of the 2023 NFL draft by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 48th overall pick. And he is very vocal in sharing about how his farming roots from his family's farm in Hankinson, North Dakota, where he grew up sweeping the shop, driving tracks, and throwing seed sacks, really gave him those, again, those real roots that now he exhibits in the NFL. And so I always love to see Cody Mock in the NFL. I actually have his jersey from Tampa Bay. And he's just yet another Bison that we love to support. I think it's just a fun conversation to have. You know, that's what we're all a big fan of here, Kurt, at FP Next, is we just like to chat about the fun stuff that we all find interesting. And I think this was another great episode. And I think that's going to wrap it up for this Farm Files episode of FP Next, powered by John Deere. And of course, Kurt, it's always just fun to see the connections in agriculture with all the top class athletes, because I see some of these guys move on the field when we're watching football. And I feel like I'm pretty athletic, and I see them running around and I'm like, there is no way. They are just born and bred different on those farms.
And tough as nails, right? That maybe that's the thing they learn more than anything else. They are tough as nails. Yep. Well, as we wrap up, to our listeners, we want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of FP Next, allowing us into your tractor cab, your truck, on your farm, in your shop, and in your fields. A special thank you, as always, goes out to our sales, digital, production and marketing team members who put in a lot of work with us. And if you want to be sure not to miss any top stories, sign up for our Farm Progress text blasts, which bring the hot stories right to your inbox.
You can sign up for those text alerts by texting FARM, F-A-R-M, to 20505. Be sure to follow Farm Progress on social media to stay up to date with ag news and more. And check out the digital edition of your regional publication at farmprogress.com. Stay tuned for our next episode. We'll be discussing the 2025 High Cotton Award winners with another one of our friends at Delta Farm Press, Brent Murphy.
Yes, you know, like in our last episode, we talked quite a bit about rice, actually. So this is a crop that we're not used to. So we're excited to keep talking about Southern agriculture and the Cotton Awards. So this should be a lot of fun. And even if you don't grow cotton, I think it's always interesting to hear about different cropping systems, you know, that we're not quite as aware of. And plus, Sarah, you probably will get some tips for that cotton you're going to grow in your garden this summer.
Yeah, you know, we've been hyping this up. It's really got to, maybe I'm going to have to start these seeds inside or something since we still have snow on the ground. But I'm like, I'm going to make this work out. And so you can follow along with FP Next by listening and subscribing on your favorite podcast platform or YouTube or Farm Progress Online. And be sure to leave us a review if you enjoy the show and all of this talk about these cotton plants that are going to be happening in my backyard.
That's right. So, Sarah, you always say 5 stars or nothing, and then we'll have to eventually rate your cotton plants in your garden, I guess.
I guess so. And remember, if it's agriculture, your friends at Farm Progress have you covered. Here's wishing you high yields and good weather. We'll see you next time.